Okay, this morning it's taken from Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48. Love your enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
I'm going to invite Te Hauo Tarangi and Ngā Huia to come before Howard preaches. I just thought it would be a good idea just to have a brief interview with them, just so that we can get to know them a little. Some of us had that opportunity yesterday, but not everyone could be there. And it's their first time visiting us. So if you two would like to come forward. I think this might be a surprise for Ngā Huia, but I have a feeling that this is how you roll, so I hope. So I know that you have a number of connections here through your time at St. John's, with Caleb and Billy, with Paul and Anna. These guys were their neighbours when they were studying at St. John's, Tony and Jill, Chris and Chelsea. They know most of the clergy in this parish because they studied with them, but from the conversations yesterday, I'm pretty sure that Howard majored in volleyball. we heard about a great-grandchild being born earlier to someone in our congregation. Ngā Huia, how many children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren do you and Howard have?
Not many. We haven't got many. We've only got 33 grandchildren. And we've got 11 greats. There you go.
And how many children?
Oh, seven. Seven, one to heaven.
Okay. So just a small family.
Yes.
Yeah. And how long have you been doing the ministry that you're doing now on the Marae?
It's been four years now since I've actually left the college and started the Marae ministry. 4 years.
And tell us just a little bit about the Marae ministry. How does that work? How many Marae are you involved with? And what does that look like?
The local area that we're in at the moment is in the Waikato district. That's the northern part of the Waikato. We call it the Waikato Heads. There's seven Marae's there. Now, quite some time ago, not many people struggled to actually take the gospel there. We have one faithful minister that was there, that's Poihipi Kukutai, and he did all the preaching on the marae there, but it was very difficult for others to come in to the area and minister to our people, or to actually minister the word of God without watering God's word down, if I can say that, in humility. So the ministry there, with the seven marais, we are now, Ngā Huia and I are actually involved with the five of the seven marais. And that's a huge thing to be involved in that.
And so that's tangihanga, worship services, what other things?
Yes, we do a lot of the tangihanga there, which is funeral services. And I mean, that's a miracle in itself, because a lot of people actually turned away from the gospel. When you mentioned the Church of England, you kind of weren't welcome. You know, it's true history. But God is doing a lot of healing with our people now and bringing the message back into the marae. Many years ago, we had a huge revival there through the Open Brethren movement and the Māori Baptist Church and other movements. We had apostolic evangelists that used to come in there and minister to our people. But they would only get that once a year during the Easter period. And when they leave, the people would fall away again, so there wasn't ongoing and mentoring and pastoral care. So a lot of that was missing in part of the Marae ministry.
Great. Well, we are so glad that you're here with us this morning. And one of the things that those of us who were there yesterday afternoon appreciated was your waiata. Yeah. And I believe you're going to share something with us now before Howard preaches.
Yes.
Thank you.
Every time we go to a marae, my family will always ask my people, say, hey, where's your partner? And I'll say, oh, she's at home. And they'll say, oh, no, your guitar. But she's my lovely wife. We'd like to share the song with you. And I think I introduced it yesterday, and this song has been on my heart before we ever actually traveled down here. And it's bringing praises to God's name. I sing praises to your name. I give glory to your name. I sing worship to your name. And I want to ask, you guys did really well with that waiata yesterday. I could feel the love and the vocals. It was such an anointing in there singing this waiata yesterday. Please, if you want to sing this song with me, if you know it, join in with us. Sorry, family. I'm going to change note. I don't have COVID. And we're going up the string. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing worship. I sing worship to your name, O Lord. Worship to your name, O Lord, for your name is great, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Church, I sing glory. I sing glory to your name. Yes, Lord. Oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. For your name is great. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, everyone. Can we just sing the Lord's Prayer together? Is that okay? I'm going to ask if Caleb and the family can join us on this one. He tomato matua I te rangi. Kia taputo e ngoa. Kia tai mai. Kia tai mai tūranga tiratanga. Kia me tia tau e pai ai ki runga ki te whenua. Kia rite anō. This is the Lord's Prayer. Oh my Tiratanga, no hoki teranga, tiratanga, te kaha, me te kororia, ake. It was lovely to share that waiata. This is the waiata that is always sung on our marais during the ministry or before the ministry, the Lord's Prayer.
Isn't it great having these guys with us this morning? I just want to pray for Howard before he brings the word. Gracious God, we thank you so much for your word to us, the scriptures. We thank you that in the words you have given us, you are revealed to us. And Lord, that's our prayer this morning. We pray for Howard. Anoint him with your spirit. Take the preparation that he's done, the reflecting and praying he's done. Take his words and make them yours. Bless this time and give us all open hearts and open minds to hear your word to us. And then the courage and the will to act on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, man of God. Well, it is wonderful, and it really is a blessing to be here this morning. My wife and I, we had a good trip down here yesterday. We went the long way. Took us an extra hour to get here. But she enjoyed the scenery, and she said she was praying for me while we were traveling. Her eyes were closed all the way. So she claimed her intercessory status. But that was wonderful. It's good to be here, family. And thank you again for your patience and missing our first two visits here. So we finally made it. And it's good to come here and to share God's word with us all here this morning. First of all, I acknowledge our God, our Creator, the beginning and the end of all things. I acknowledge Him and I acknowledge our family here. I'll say more later on when I finish. I better get on with the coho. The song took about another 5 minutes off my time, so I've got 10 minutes left. Yeah. Listening here to our reading here this morning, this is very personal for me, and I felt really passionate about this, on our way down here and looking at this particular reading, because it challenges me in many different ways, and I believe it'll challenge many of us in many different ways. You see, there were those who followed both the law and Jesus' teachings of love and perfection. I don't normally use a laptop, whānau. On the marae, we don't have laptops. Normally speak from the heart, but I thought I'd better have my laptop here and have my notes here in front of me. I get a bit, what do you call it? I wouldn't say apostolic. I get carried away sometimes. so I've got to keep in line. Here is the teachings. The teaching is of love, is to love. Not only our neighbours and friends and family, but also our enemies. Now, that's a real challenge for many of us at the best of times. When we're walking in the movement of the Holy Spirit and we're all Spirit-filled, and even then it's a bit of a challenge. It's at times we put our Father aside. See, it's easy for me to love Reverend Sam and Luca because I know them. I love them, and they're easy to love. They're lovable. Anna and Paul and Chelsea and Chris, easy to love them. We spend a bit of time together. They might say they don't love me that much, but they do. Caleb and Billy, they're just lovable people. And it's simple. It's so easy to love people that you get on quite well with. But what about those that are not so lovable? We still have to love and care for those who do us wrong. And I'm going to share a little testimony later. I'm trying to cut this short now. You see, the challenge for us is to reflect God's love, our reading here this morning. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge for me personally when things happen that are not so good. And to reflect His love. See, my love has conditions. If you love me, I'll love you back. If you laugh with me, I'll laugh with you. But if you don't think my jokes are funny, then I might have a bit of reserve about spending time with you. But there's conditions to our love. We put conditions on our love. If we only love those who we care for, how different are we to the world? The person down the road who does not go to church, we may not love what they do, but we don't know what's going on in their homes, their lives. When someone does us wrong, we seem to disagree with them. Or, you know, our vestry huis are quite interesting, our vestry meetings. You get a lot of challenges in those vestry meetings or Bible study. I don't know if you experience that, Reverend Caleb or Reverend Craig. Do you accept people or do you accept them in the same way, or is it different how you accept them? You know, we've got this wonderful sister of ours in church. You hardly finish the reading and she starts preaching before you get to the end. And sometimes you've got to tell her, oh, look, just quiet now, hear the word first. And then some people will say to you in the church, oh, she's big maintenance, that lady. Wow, what a thing to say. See, it's easy to love people that you are close to, or those that agree with you, or those that think you may be funny. Can you and I love someone who has hurt us, or our families, our loved ones? I'm going to go straight to a testimony. This is very personal for me because I was put through a challenge in 2016. And my faith was really tested when it came to love. I would stand on the marae and look at my people and just look at them in the eye and say, I love you all. I love you. Because God taught me how to love. I care for you. And I'm happy to bring the word of God and the gospel to our people because of the love I have for God and what God has taught me. In 2016, a nephew of mine was attacked in a home invasion. He was beaten and laid in Middlemore Hospital in intensive care for a couple of weeks. You see, he already had other underlying health issues. He was released from hospital with days left. They've given him about 5 days to live. As he laid in hospital, I was given the opportunity to go to him in hospital. He requested to see me through a family member of mine. And that was an honor. But he made this request that he wanted to see me at the hospital. This young man, I spent a fair bit of time with him, with the family, and on the marae. We would sit together and talk together. We had this relationship on the marae. That's where it happened, just on the marae, amongst our people, just sitting with them. And we sat and we talked. And as he laid in hospital, he removed the life support system and he asked if he could see me through his father. So his father rings me up and says, "Te hau tirangi, can you come and visit my son? He wants to see you." I arrived there and he asked for a prayer of salvation. Now, this young man used to go to church for many, many years, and whatever journey he had been on, he had fallen away. And he asked for that. And I saw the importance of loving someone no matter where they were at. He was a drug dealer. He was in, you know, he had some shady, he was a shady character, a family member of mine. But he was a lovable person. He loved his family, but it was a life that he led. And he asked for a prayer of salvation, and it was an honor to be there and then to lead him through that prayer of salvation. A couple of days later, he left the hospital, come back to be with his family, and the family was rejoicing. Just through that, God had healed his whole family, brought them back together, because many of them weren't getting on too well with each other. A week later, he asked me, he says, "Look, I want to marry my partner." So I conducted a wedding service for him. And 2 days later, he had passed away after the wedding. And there was mixed emotions that was going on in my heart at that time, because I was excited that he had given his heart back to the Lord. But I was sad that his life was cut short. It was cut short by people in the community, these young men. And these young men were also family members of mine. So to see them in the main streets and to see that they had been released on bail, there's no under 18s here, is there? And just to see that these young men were released on bail, I tell you, I was really tested. I couldn't even look at these young men in town. I would pass them through the main street and I felt disgusted. But God kept me in check. And he says to me, this was very hard, and it was almost like I could hear him, "You have to love those people. Because one day they're going to turn to you." To me, he's saying. "But you have to learn to love those people, even though what they have done." And that was difficult. Every week after week, I would get up in the pulpit and preach about love. And there were these young men that I struggled to love them and to care for them. Family of God, I don't know how you would handle that situation. Some of us, I pray not that you may have been in that situation, but this is a real test of this love that God talks about. Can we love the person down the street that walks around in a patch? Can we love the ones down the road from us that are yahooing and having parties late at night? One thing that God taught me, I had to go back to where I started from, you know, is like, reminding me how it used to party the same way before you had your encounter with me. I was on a run from God for so many years, I tell you, it was unreal. But he was teaching me, Howard, that these are the people I brought you back to so that you could love them. Love them unconditionally. And I still don't know what that love is. It's still a struggle. So I went through a process where I had to learn how to deal with these situations, with these families. And then months and months later, family members had passed away and they were connected to this particular family. And I tell you what God had done through that period. My wife and I, she used to minister to the father of this young man who passed away not so long ago as well. And my wife used to actually minister to them. She would walk into their home and tell them, "You need to come to church," and all this and that. You know, and these are the ones that actually assaulted my nephew. But we had to learn how to love them. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was the first message I heard when I came to the faith in 2004. So I'm very young as a Christian. But that was the first message I heard. For God so loved you, Howard, that he gave his only Son. He did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. And I found myself, I was condemning these people. But in closing, this part of the message says, I was taught, do not harbour unforgiveness. Pray for those who hurt you and I. Treat them with respect. And witness God's glory and goodness come to pass. So in saying that, we have a wonderful ministry. I'd love to call it the Love Ministry, but the Anglican Church might come down on me quite hard. if I can call my wife back up here before we close. I know the song took up a bit of time. So okay. If you could, okay. Yeah. If my wife could come back up here with me, please.
You're good for time, Howard.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to touch a bit more. Thank you so much for that. I just want to touch a bit more into the story so you know where I'm coming from. My wife had known the Lord for many years. She grew up in a Baptist family, Open Brethren as well, between Open Brethren and the Baptist church. Her mother was very staunch. And when she first met me, she didn't like me because I was unequally yoked. We all know what that means, eh? We know that conversation. Because I was unequally yoked. But my wife, she loved this man from Rotorua. I probably was the most handsomest one in that area at the time. And, you know, she didn't listen to her mum. And for 27 years, she prayed for me. Our relationship led from one thing to another. We had children. We got married against the will of my mother-in-law. But when I look back, I see why my mother-in-law was like, I call her mum. I don't like the in-law thing. Sorry?
Best friend.
We were best friends. I actually came back and when she had passed away, I buried her. But she was so excited when I had my encounter with God because she didn't have to worry about me anymore or her daughter. But what I also want to touch on is that for 27 years, my wife prayed for me to come to church. And for 27 years, I said no. For 27 years, I ran. I had nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And every Sunday morning, she would ask me, would you like to come to church? And I would say, no, thank you. I'll stay home and watch the Warriors lose. So every Sunday for 27 years, no lie, she would ask me faithfully. She would ask me if you want to come to church. And I would say no. And this one night I had an encounter with God you would not believe. I was actually in a nightclub dancing against a pole. They have these poles that you can dance against. And I was drinking. I turned wine into water. Everything started to taste like water. But I had this massive encounter with God. And I went home. I actually walked out of the club that night. Left my wife there with the family. I went home and I said, God, if you are real, come to me now if you are real. And I tell you, I hit that floor so hard. I've never run into Joe Nolomu, but I felt like I had hit Joe Nolomu. And I'd hit the floor. I got up and I was saturated. Tears and everything else. Hurts from my past. And this God that I fell in love with healed me. And then my wife's prayers were answered. She gets home and I said to her, wife, I'm coming with you to church tomorrow morning. And the first thing she did was rolled her eyes. I know, a lot of our women do that quite good, eh? And she rolled her eyes and she could not believe what had happened. I was going to get her to speak also, but because we're short on time, I'm just going to cut through it very quickly. And she rolled her eyes. I went to church with her that morning and I never forget how I felt, you know, that feeling and how she felt. My children looked at us.
Our mum was there. My mum was there too.
Yes, her mum was at church. There was an altar call that was made in this church. I didn't know what an altar call was. I didn't know what a prophet was. And she wanted to pray for me. And I kind of leaned back when she was putting her hand like this. I didn't know what that was. And my mother-in-law was there as well, sitting in the church. And I just stood up and I walked out to the middle. And everyone just freaked out. This guy here, he's to break into my house. but just spinning a bit. But that was my encounter with God. And then, but we're seeing, but what I want to say is that the power of prayer. You may not believe that person down the road from you can be saved. You might be praying for your grandchildren who have gone on their own little journey, or your sons and your daughters. Maybe some of us in the house here in our whare here today may not have experienced that. But there are many, I believe, that are praying for their loved ones. Maybe your partner don't come to church and you're praying for them to come to church. And I want to share with you that when you reflect the love of God and you see the glory come to pass, is what I've spoken about. So we had the privilege of leading all our children to the Lord. Our eldest one is 40, darling, help me. Yeah, 46.
Eight.
Darling, she's going to say that. The eldest one is 48, and our baby, she's 36. So we have 7 children, 33 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren. And all our children we led to the Lord. And why? Because we reflected the love of God. We weren't perfect. We were not perfect parents, but we reflected that love that we just finished reading about. Even their condition, they were still drinking. And I led my son-in-law to the Lord and then my daughter. And then now they're senior pastors in Australia. They got their own church there. And all my family attend church. So we had the privilege of leading all our grandchildren, all our children to the faith. And that's where our evangelism started. That's where our marae ministry began, before God actually took us home to deliver and to speak with our people on our marais and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And love is a big, powerful part of it. Family, I want to thank you very much. And on behalf of Gladys and I, Ngā Huia and I, we want to thank you for your love and your support. Because without your love and your support and believing in our mission, the mission that we are doing in our ministry, we are not able to do what we do today. Mm-hmm. And we want to, God bless you all. It's lovely. You all look beautiful here this morning. I'm not asking for any more money or anything like that, but I must say, you all look very cute. But we just want to extend our love to you as well. And we're speaking not only on behalf of Ngā Huia and I, but our people, the people of Waikato. And I put an invitation out there, and I'm really serious about this. I have put out an invitation out there for our people, for any of you who would like to come back to our hui on the marae there. You're most welcome, and I'll keep in contact, but come and share the love. But God bless you all. Love you all, and I love your food too. So we look forward to having fellowship. Thank you, man of God, and God bless you and Sarah. It's good to meet you, Sarah. Thank you so much. God bless you all.